ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम् 10th canto, chapter 69, Narada visits Krishna's palaces, text number 37. We'll take word to word meanings first. Ataha, thereupon, Vacha, said, Rishikesham, to Lord Krishna, Narada, Narada, Prahasan, laughing, Iva, mildly, Yogamaya, of his spiritual bewildering potences, Udayam, the unfolding, Vikshya, having seen, Manushim, human, Iyushaha, who was assuming, Gatim, ways. Atho vacha Rishikesham, Narada prahasanniva, Yogamayodayam vikshya, Manushim iyusho gatim. अथो वाचा ऋषिकेशम् नारदा प्रहसन् इव योगमायोदयं वीक्ष्य मानुषीम् ईशो गतिम्। अथो वाचा ऋषिकेशम् नारदः प्रहसन् इव योगमायोदयं वीक्ष्य मानुषीम् ईशो गतिम्। Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Having thus seen this display of Lord's Yogamaya, Narada mildly laughed and then addressed Lord Rishikesha, who was adopting the behavior of a human being. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Narada fully understood the Lord's omniscience, and thus, when he saw the Lord trying to find out the mood of his ministers, moving about in disguise, Narada could not help laughing. But remembering the Lord's supreme position, he somewhat restrained his laughter. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padkamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna I seek blessings of all the devotees so that I can speak something. And in advance I seek forgiveness if I speak something wrong or inappropriate. I'll be more than happy to be corrected so that I can improve in the future and rectify the mistake. I was thinking this false ego is such a powerful enemy and intricate. Usually I sit in Japa near Baldev Prabhu. Some days back he came to me and in his usual very cool and jolly style told me, smiling, aapko love letter bheja hai. So I also smiled. I said, thank you, I am eager to look at it. So he understood that I haven't understood what he is saying. He said, aapko asan pe bitha rahe hain. Then I understood what he meant. So internally I was happy, but externally I was showing to him our indifference. No, it's a difficult thing. So I thought, what is this behavior? And that is one thing. After some days then, during Japa time, these thoughts are coming. How will I open my class? How will I present myself to be humble? I'm not qualified. So I was thinking, what is this? Totally opposite. You are planning to be humble, but you are acting arrogant. This thought itself is, you are devising your words to be deceiving. So I was thinking, sometimes our fight is going on with gross anarthas, lust, but then one day we realize, dear Prabhu, there are so many other subtle anarthas which are much more powerful than this gross anartha. Desire for name, fame, prestige, profit, adoration, distinction. Keep troubling, even in a spiritual society, spiritual circle, when we are trying to do spiritual activities. So yes, sometimes I thought spiritual life is difficult, but then material life is impossible. And in material life, everything is hopeless end. But in spiritual life, there is endless hope. So we just continue. Also, I recently read one quote. If we do what we can do, one day Krishna will empower us to do what we cannot do. So we cannot overcome our gross and subtle anarthas so deep-rooted. So if we keep continuing just. So one day we hope Krishna will help and we'll be able to overcome those anarthas. So here Narad Muniji is on a Dwarka Yatra, and as far as I have heard and read, I have seen mostly the traveling wherever he travels around Narad Muni. So many places we have seen in Bhagavatam, other scriptures, first canto traveling and preaching to Vyasadeva, second canto, third canto, so many places, Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, and then Mrigari, Daksha, preaching to the sons of Daksha. So many places we have seen he travels. But I was thinking there is always some purpose where he goes, he does some preaching, cultivation, something. This is the only place I could think of where he is going for his own nourishment. Dwarka, his own rasa, he is going there just for his own spiritual development. So I thought what we could, for us the lesson is, okay, a balance between sadhana and seva. We go and do a lot of outreach, but then nourishment also, our own nourishment, sadhana is also equally important. And in fact, the very name Narada, this suffix da at the end means to give. Like we have Yashoda, Kirtida, who give yash or fame, kirti to their family, community, dynasty. Similarly, Narada means one who gives Narayan. Nara is da, who gives Narayan. So he's always giving to people. So here he's come to take. He's come to take, absorb, nourish himself for this. I was thinking, am I speculating on this? Then Satyanand Prabhu gave me a reference actually from Bhagavatam. 11th canto, there is a verse which says this is true. 11.2.1 saying how Dwarka is protected by Lord Krishna. Govinda Bhuj Guptayam. So that verse says, Sukhdeva Goswami says, eager to engage in the worship of Lord Krishna, Narad Muni stayed for some time in Dwarka, which was always protected by the arms of Govinda. So here disciples of Prabhupada, they give a very nice purport saying how he is spending time for nourishment in Dwarka. According to Jiva Goswami, although Narad Muni was frequently sent by Lord Krishna here and there for various pastimes, such as inquiring about the affairs of the world, Narada continuously returned to reside in Dwarka. The word Krishna, Upasana, Lalasa indicate that Narada was very eager to be near Krishna and worship him. Because of the curse of Daksha, Narada is never allowed to live continuously in one place. Sridhar Swami, however, has pointed out, Na tasyam sapadaha prabhavaha. In Dwarka there is no influence of curse or other such evils, because Dwarka is the abode of Supreme Personality of Godhead and is always protected by his arms, as shown by the word Govind Bhuj Guptayam. Now since it's a conditioning, in my college days I used to have some fun with numbers and mathematics, so we can dovetail everything in Krishna consciousness also. So this number of wives, 16108, I was just reflecting on this number and I came up with two things. How this is a special number, 16108. We have, people who come new to Krishna consciousness, they have often this inquisitiveness. Why this number 108? Why no some round figure, 100 or 125? So this, all of us know the answer, 108 has a special significance, I'll not go. Then another thing they come up with is, why 16 rounds only? 15 is a roundabout figure near, or 20. So that also we know the answer. I'll not go into details. Just on a lighter note, I thought this number 16108, 16 rounds, and in each round 108 mantras we chant. And another interesting thing is, if we add up the digits 16108, the total again comes to 16 only. So one more thing is, I was just thinking how Narad Muniji is feeling, because he is sitting right there in the audience when this Srimad Bhagavatam Pravachan is going on, Sukhdev Goswami is speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. So many great sages are there, Narad Muni himself sitting in the audience. And just I was thinking, what is he going through when he is listening to all these pastimes, right from first canto to all the cantos, so many cantos he comes. First canto he is preaching to Vyasadeva, teaching him. then third canto, fourth canto, Dhruva Maharaj pastime, then saving Kayadhu, preaching to sons of Daksha Maharaj. He's sitting right there and hearing all these kathas. In this chapter itself, Lord Krishna is washing his feet. Now how much he must be thinking in the audience, other great siddhis are sitting next to him, and they are seeing, Are Narad Muni ji ka pyar dhoye Krishna Bhagavan ne. He's drinking his charanamrit. So that is, I don't know if any acharyas have written anything, Radhika Labru can tell what was his thought process when this is going on. In English, sometimes when they are describing somebody's achievement, they say, he came, he saw, and he conquered. But here it was a little different. He came, in Narada Muni's case, he came, he saw, and he was conquered. He was conquered by what all he saw in Dwarka, the beautiful pastimes and leelas of Krishna. Another thought that came to my mind was, in Gaur Leela, these roles are getting completely reversed. Here Narada Muniji is playing the role of a renunciant. In Gaur Leela, he takes the role of a householder. He becomes Srivas Thakur. Here Krishna is playing the role of a householder. In Gaur Leela, suppose it, he takes the role of a renunciant, Sannyasi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Here Narada Muniji is visiting Krishna. In Gaur Leela, Krishna visits Srivasangan for Sankirtan. So completely different exchange, reversing of roles is happening in Gaur Leela. Now this last word, gatim, manushim, manushim isho gatim. Gatim means ways. Lord Krishna, who was adopting the ways of a human being, the behavior of a human being. Srila Jiva Goswami gives a slightly different reading of this word. He says it's a manushim isho ratim. Ratim means pleasure. So he gives a slightly different translation. He says, Lord Krishna, who was obtaining the pleasure of a human being. Now this word, prahasan iva, Narada prahasan iva, smiling, mildly smiling. So does anywhere in Gita such a similar words come? Prahasan iva bharata. Yeah, anybody else? Tam uvacha rishikesha prahasan iva bharata. Senayor ubhayor madhye vishidantam idam vachah. This is 2.10 verse. Similar, first two lines are very similar. Rishikesha word is there, Prahasan Iva is there. But there Krishna is smiling actually. O descendant of Bharata, at that time Krishna, smiling in the midst of both the armies, spoke the following words to the grief-stricken Arjuna. So much could have been spoken about that Gita verse 2.10, and I could have easily taken a detour to Gita, but I thought I'll stick to Bhagavatam only here. And Acharyas give elaborate commentaries in Gita why Krishna also mildly smiled there in 2.10 verse. In this verse, current Bhagavatam verse which we are reading, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells why Narada is doing prahasan iva, mildly smiling. Narada fully understood the Lord's omniscience, and thus when he saw the Lord trying to find out the mood of his ministers moving about in disguise, Lord Krishna in disguise is moving about in the kingdom and trying to find out the mood of his ministers. Narada could not help laughing. But remembering the Lord's supreme position, he somewhat constrained his laughter. He just checked his laughter. Now, with us also it happens so many times in either material life or spiritual circles, we get to laugh, we laugh loudly sometimes. And sometimes we try to constrain our laughter due to etiquette. Sometime back this happened with me, in relation to Lord itself, where I had to constrain my laughter. Just this thought came to my mind that Lord Ram's altar, we have Lord Ram and Sita and then Lakshmanji and Hanumanji. Usually this is the altar of Lord Ram. So I was thinking there is one female and there are three males. And then I thought usually in ISKCON or Krishna's altar we have Radha, Krishna, Lalita, Vishakha. Totally opposite. There is one male and three females. So I couldn't help laughing. Arey, wah, Krishna. But then I thought, aparato nahi kar raha hu main kuch, this is like some high rasa thing. So I tried to hide. But then from whom will I hide? Krishna is there in the heart. So I'm laughing on this apparent, some strange thing.
So I ask forgiveness in the heart. Lord, already struggling with my anarthas. I'm sorry if some offense is there. Then I was sharing this with Gaurkirtan Prabhu. Gaurkirtan Prabhu said, Prabhuji, why you are seeing this altar? Then see the altar of Radha Madhav in Mayapur. One male surrounded by 9 females. So we are also put in situation, we have to constrain our laughter. Breach of etiquette might be there. And just as I was reflecting on this theme of constraining our laughter, one verse came to my mind from first canto, where a similar thing is happening, but totally reverse of this again. This comes in first canto when Lord Krishna is departing from Hastinapur to Dwaraka. The emotions are reverse of this. There, the queens are feeling like crying. They are so much afflicted by pain that Krishna is leaving. He stayed in Hastinapur for a few months. I'll just read a few verses leading up to that from first canto. At that time, Subhadra, Draupadi, Kunti, Uttara, Kripacharya, Nakula, Sahadeva, Bhishmasen all nearly fainted because it was impossible for them to bear separation from Lord Krishna. All their hearts were melting for him on the pot of attraction. They looked at him without blinking their eyes and they moved hither and thither in perplexity. And then comes this verse which I find very nice. Naya rundhan udgalad bhaspam otkanthya devaki sute niryati agaran abhadram iti syad bandavah striyah. This is 1.10.14. The female relatives whose eyes were flooded with tears out of anxiety for Krishna came out of the palace. They could stop their tears only with great difficulty. They feared that tears would cause misfortune at the time of departure. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, there were hundreds of ladies in the palace of Hastinapur. All of them were affectionate to Krishna. All of them were relatives also. When they saw that Krishna was going away from the palace for his native place, they were very anxious for him. And as usual, tears began to roll down their cheeks. They thought at the same time that tears at that moment might be a cause of misfortune for Krishna. Therefore, they wanted to check them. This was very difficult for them because the tears could not be checked. Therefore, they smeared their tears in their eyes and their hearts throbbed. So they just rolled out their tears in their eyes and just thought it will be inauspiciousness while Krishna is departing. So I was thinking from these two incidents, Narada checking his laughing and the queens checking their tears, the Vedic culture is so refined. There is so much etiquette. In modern culture, we oftentimes come across, why restrict yourself? Do whatever is there, at wherever you are, whatever you feel, just express yourself. But Vedic culture we see was very refined, especially the advanced devotees, they are very refined in their behavior, in their etiquette. And then image came to my mind of a devotee, His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj. How refined and how sophisticated is everything. Just by looking at him, he is just sitting there and you feel something special. Just he is standing there or just he is just walking, the way he dresses, the way he talks. Everything is so refined. And what to speak if he gently smiles at you. It's full of etiquette and refinement. And now in this past time, this chapter, we are hearing very sweet activities of Lord Krishna in different palaces, doing different activities in all the palaces. They are very sweet, but at the same time we know behind all these sweet pastimes, there is greatness also. It's no ordinary person doing it. Krishna, who has expanded in himself into 16,108 forms, he is doing these pastimes. No ordinary personality is doing that. So with that in mind, we are able to relish, we enjoy these. And same for Damodar Leela, like just after a few days now, 27th of this month, the most special Kartik month is starting, where the most sweet Damodar Leela pastime happened. Damodar Ashtakam probably is one of the most sweetest bhajans. Every day we sing, very sweetly describing the Leela between Yashodama and Krishna. But then in that entire sweet Damodar Ashtakam, it begins with Namam Ishwaram Sachid Ananda Rupam. Satyavrata Muni is clarifying This is no ordinary child's sweetness. This is Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Ishwar Satchidananda Rupa, who is doing this pastime. So there are these two terms, Aishwarya and Madhurya. Aishwarya is greatness and Madhurya is sweetness. So this combination is very nice. And there is Aishwarya and we know Madhurya. And this combination is very nice. Rare to find somebody in this world who is both great and sweet. Krishna is not only great and sweet, he is the greatest and the sweetest. We know this Brahman is so great. It is attained by those rare souls who have got nothing to do with this world, nothing to do with heavenly planets. Just beyond everything they go to Brahman. Brahman is very great actually. Very rare to achieve Brahman. But then there are no activities there. There is no sweetness over there in Brahman. Above Brahman level you come to Paramatma. Paramatma, then there is form. This four-armed form. There is some activity. Paramatma is witnessing, is sanctioning, is guiding the individual soul. So there is some activities there, increase of activities. From Paramatma we go to Vaikuntha planets. There is even more activity over there in Vaikuntha planets. There, devotees are there, Lakshmiji comes into picture. There is no Lakshmiji with Paramatma. In Vaikuntha we have Lakshmiji, devotees are there and more activities are there. Above Vaikuntha we go to then Dwarka, Mathura. Even more activities, even more leelas, more sweetness in pastimes. And even Aishwarya is increasing. It's not that Aishwarya is decreasing. Aishwarya is also increasing in that. And finally we come to Vrindavan. In Vrindavan there is maximum activity, even more than Mathura and Dwaraka. In Mathura and Dwaraka at least Krishna sleeps at night. Vrindavan he doesn't sleep at night also. This activity going on, most sweet pastimes are going on. So this Aishwarya and Madhurya, very nice combination we get to see there. And just continuing on this theme of Damodarashtakam, I just speculated and came up with few more comparisons, similarities between our current pastime, Narada Muni's pastime and Damodar Leela. I'll just like to share. Please correct me if I am wrong, and just a few thoughts. Now here Narada Muniji, although he is omniscient, he is still enjoying trying to find out what the ministers are doing. So one question comes, when he is performing this, when he is trying to find out what the ministers are doing, at that time does he know exactly what they are thinking or he does not know? He, in disguise, he is going around in the kingdom to find out what the ministers are doing. So what is actually the thing, whether he knows already that what they are thinking or he does not know? So, I was just thinking, then we get the help from our acharyas. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur tells in his commentary, Sharad Darshan, he clarifies. Although Krishna is all-knowing, Yogesham, he covered his knowledge potency, Sarvagyata Shakti, with his pastime potency, that is Leela Shakti, in order to act and enjoy like this. I mean, just imagine, even if Narada Muni had not come, Krishna was performing these pastimes before also. He'll continue to perform them after Narada Muni leaves. For so many years, what fun he'll get if he already knows. Then why will he go in disguise and just see what the ministers are thinking? He's actually enjoying. He actually at that moment does not know. Although in the background, at a higher level we know because he is God, omniscient, Paramatma, he knows everything. But during that particular pastime, his Leela Shakti is covering his Sarvagyata Shakti. And he does not know. He is actually going and relishing that pastime. Same thing happens in Damodar Leela. Just imagine if Yashodama already knows. There is some just drama going on. Just after 2-3 rope. After some time he will actually get bound. Every time the rope will be 2 fingers too short. And after some time he will be bound. If she already knows this, then where is the fun of pastime? Krishna in actual fear is running from Yashodama. He's not just doing some drama, okay, thodi der bhagna hai, bandne meko, anyway, bandne wali hai maa. He's actually afraid that Yashoda Maa will hit him with a stick. So this is like in both the pastimes, the Leela Shakti covers the actual knowing potency of the Lord and there is actual fun enjoyed by Lord and the devotees in the pastime. Now Yashoda Maa is running to catch Krishna and here Narada Muniji is running from one palace to another palace to catch a sight of Krishna's activities. Yashoda Mai has a stick in her hand, Narad Muni has a veena in her hand. Narad Muni is one man Sankirtan party. Yashoda Mai also is a one woman Sankirtan party. Actually, I just wanted to go through that bhajan once. Narad Muni Bajaye Veena Radhika Raman Name. So I just, in the Veda base, searched this line. And I was surprised the first result, the first click of this search comes not in Vaishnava song book but in Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto. That famous chapter where Daksha curses Narad Muni. In that one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada writes this entire bhajan. Entire bhajan, five, six stanzas. And also the purport of that bhajan. So I was thinking probably this is the only Vaishnava bhajan which comes full. The verses and the purport in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Narad Muni is one man Sankirtan party going with his veena and just travelling all over the world. And Yashoda Mai, how she is one man Sankirtan party. For this I heard a very nice, beautiful Bhagavatam class in Vrindavan some years back in Kartik. His Holiness Bhakti Brihat Bhagavat Maharaj was giving a class. Just half an hour class just on this topic. Damodar Leela ka starting, just the starting part, how Yashoda Mai is churning butter for Krishna. So he was telling how she is alone. There is a big pot in this butter, milk, you know, curd and then water. She is churning with a big rod. And her bangles are like kartals. But it's a rhythmic activity. You know, symmetrical activity you do like that. So there is a symmetrical music coming actually. It's not random. And that churning itself, the water, big pot, big rod, churning itself creates sound. And her bangles are kartals. Maharaj was saying how that big rod is like a mridanga. Hollow inside and two sides closed. So he is comparing how Yashoda Mai is a one man Sankirtan party. One woman Sankirtan party. And then Maharaj was giving some lessons also. How for Sankirtan, for glorifying the Lord, it's not that always you need to have two, three good Mridanga players and two, three Kartal players, then only you can glorify, do Sankirtan. He was saying alone, single, just to yourself, you can sing, have a Sankirtan. Like that Maharaj was deriving some lessons. Narad Muniji went to first palace, Lord Krishna received him, then went to second palace. Now he is going to third palace, fourth palace, fifth palace. Slowly he is getting surprised and bewildered to see everywhere some different pastimes happening. Similarly, Yashoda Mai, she tied first rope, second rope, third rope, again two fingers too short, fourth rope, again two fingers too short. Similarly, she is again also getting surprised and bewildered. We have word Prahasan Iva here. Narada Muni is mildly smiling, seeing the pastime of the Lord. Similar Prahasan Iva comes in this Damodar Leela pastime also at the very end when Lord Krishna breaks down those trees and delivers Nalkuvar Manigrif. They offer prayers to Krishna and then Krishna is smiling. When they finish their prayers, Krishna is smiling as he is about to reply. Anybody knows why Krishna smiles that time at the end of Damodar Leela? Yeah, very nice. So Krishna is smiling, they fell from spiritual world, they were from the heavenly planets. They came here, they were tied, they were in this form of trees. I liberated them, but I myself am tied here. Unko liberated, but I am myself bound. So he mildly smiled while replying to them. And then in the end of both these pastimes, Narad Muni is praying to Lord so that he may always remember him. Similarly, in Damodar Ashtakam, Satyavrat Muni prays, Lord, I don't even want moksha. Just give me the benediction so that I may always remember you. These are a few of the comparisons, similarities which I could see in both these leelas. Also, I was thinking, just as Narad Muni is visiting Dwaraka to witness wonderful activities of Krishna. Similarly, Narad Muniji would visit New Dwaraka and other holy places which Prabhupada created in the West to witness some amazing activities of Srila Prabhupada also. We have that one famous pastime where devotees in America rented a very big hall for a program for Prabhupada, but then very few people turned up and devotees were expressing their disappointment, begging forgiveness from Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no, didn't you see Narad Muni came? So this pastime is well known, but then recently I came across one more pastime which happened in London regarding this Narad Muni approaching. This is from the series Following Srila Prabhupada by Yadubhar Prabhu. In this, the Prabhupada disciple Padmalochan Prabhu, he is describing this incident. He once made a very beautiful Vyasasana for Prabhupada to sit on. Prabhupada came and gave a lecture. And after the lecture, he told devotees and Padmalochan Prabhu, you should make two more similar Vyasasanas. He said, daily Narad Muniji and Brahmaji, they are visiting this place. So you should have a seat for them also to sit. So devotees, same day, in the same night, they finished two more Vyasasanas, kept it there next day. And Prabhupada was very happy when he came and saw them. So the two Vyasasanas. And after the lecture, he again said, see, daily Brahmaji and Narad Muniji are visiting this place to witness the Gaur Aarti here. So these two asanas should be there next to Radha London Ishwar. I'll just, in the end, just two, three things I'll share, which probably do not have any direct connection with the class, but still just for our sadhana, in the beginning I was mentioning about our sadhana bhakti, what is in it for us practitioners. Hearing from classes from Shadvishwavu recently, I've become more aware about holy name. He stresses so much on holy name, and so our Vaishnava Seva Prabhu is doing so much amazing service, so many websites he has created. 1 month back I came across one more website, it's called HareKrishnaJapa.com. HareKrishnaJapa.com, there every day they send one quote on Japa. So I also subscribe to that website. So it's good, every day you get some reminder, okay, how Japa. And mostly there are some quotes from Prabhupada's books or his lectures, from some bhajan, from Acharya's books. Some very nice quotes, inspiring one, small paragraphs on holy name, chanting. Just 2 days back was a very nice post which I thought I'll just share. This was a small paragraph from a book Jaiva Dharma from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In Arunodaya Kirtan, that Udilo Aruna Purabha Bhage Bhajan which is sing, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the nectar-filled names of Krishna are the sole shelter within the universe. Krishna Naam Sudha Kuriya Paan Jurao Bhakti Vinoda Pran Nama Vina Kichu Nahi Koar Chauda Bhuvan Maje. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name of Krishna and thus satisfy the soul of Bhakti Vinod. Except for the holy name, there is nothing within all the 14 worlds. One must be thoroughly convinced that there is absolutely no other shelter, a source of protection in this trouble-filled world besides Lord Krishna, who is fully present in his holy name. With this conviction and realization, one should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Taking full shelter means to express in mind and out loud, in mind and also loud, the mood that, O Krishna, I am yours. I am taking shelter of you. He Radhe, He Krishna, Tava Asmi. So this was one inspirational quote. And I'll just end with another small article. This is by His Grace Sutapa Prabhu, Brahmachari from London Temple. So some time back I had come across this small article which I had forwarded to some of the devotees also. Some of you might have already read it, but it's worth going through it again. It's called Mission Impossible. Again, very relevant for us sadhakas. Whatever I spoke, probably I don't know how much relevant or helpful it was. Probably this article as it is, I will repeat it. This might be of some help. And we'll end this class with this. People have a romantic idea of spirituality, escape worldly distraction, access higher states of consciousness and settle into an internal serenity. But the dedicated and honest practitioners, however, will frankly admit that it doesn't always work like that. There are good days and bad days. Sometimes we experience a sweet pleasure from simple and sublime spiritual practices. On other days, however, it feels mechanical, burdensome, monotonous and uninspiring. Thousands of thoughts whiz through the mind and disturb our focus. But if spirituality is so natural, why does it sometimes feel so artificial? If we are connecting with our true nature, why does it seem so alien? Before reaching spiritual maturity, one goes through the stage of anisthita bhakti, unsteady devotion. Here sometimes the fading of enthusiasm and dry patches are inevitable. The great spiritual preceptors therefore recommend that one take vows, committing themselves to a regime that will sustain their progress over a lifetime. Honoring vows in the early stages is easy since there is freshness and novelty. Honoring those promises in the mature stage is effortless since there is natural attraction and relish. So in the beginning it's easy because there is novelty, there is freshness, and when somebody is mature, sufficiently advanced, then he naturally relishes those things. So it's easy for him also to continue on the process. In between, however, spiritual life can feel like a taxing struggle. Freshness has worn off and the higher taste is a distant reality. This interim zone is the proverbial graveyard of numerous sincere spiritualists. So this interim zone is the proverbial graveyard of numerous sincere spiritualists. They started but just could not continue. Fear not, however, since this is also the zone where the beautiful principle of commitment can shine through. The depth of any relationship is proportionate to the commitment shown. Husband and wife, friend to friend, parent and child, guru and disciple, and also the individual soul and Krishna. We think spirituality is about experience, taste, inspiration and feelings. But another major aspect is too often neglected: discipline, duty, determination and doggedness. We have to keep going on despite how we feel. If we could fortify this unglamorous aspect of our spiritual life, we could grow to unimaginable heights. The vows of the great saints were like lines in stone. Once uttered, there was no question of retraction. Their vows were planted in the heart and watered for many years, eventually manifesting wonderfully sweet fruits. Thus, this point of commitment should become a deep meditation. Spiritual life is undoubtedly a joyful process, but we may have to shed some blood, sweat and tears to make it work. Difficult but not impossible. Tense like that. Hare Krishna. I beg sorry, pardon for if I spoke anything wrong or inappropriate. Any corrections or comments are welcome. Hare Krishna. जय ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय।